This podcast is brought to you by the Premier Surgical Office-Based Surgery Center on Paper Mill Drive in Knoxville. Excellent care designed for patient comfort and convenience.
Is Bobby Bowden your favorite retired football coach right now, Tennessee fans? Maybe.
He should be.
Maybe, just maybe.
My favorite retired football coach is Phil Fulmer.
Yeah. Not good. Right now. I'm saying right now.
Well, I guess is Fulmer, he's retired.
He's a retired football coach.
But he is not retired as a whole. Okay. Still working.
I'm saying right now. Coach Fulmer hasn't said anything in the last 24, 48 hours. They got people in their feelings.
That's true.
Bobby Bowden, sitting down with Chris Lowe, unsolicited, said that Jeremy Pruitt – You got the quotes there.
Here's his exact quote on Pruitt. Very optimistic. He said, "Out of all these new coaches coming up, I have a feeling that Pruitt is going to be the best. Nobody's expecting anything out of Tennessee, and he's such a good coach. I think he's a hidden jewel, boy. I really do." He didn't say a hidden jewel, boy. He said a hidden jewel, comma, boy. By the way,
coming from Bobby Bowden, I can hear him saying it both ways. Yep. To be honest. Yeah. I can hear him saying it both ways. Yeah. Oh, Bobby Bowden.
He likes Pruitt.
If Lowe asked him about Pruitt and he made these comments,
I wouldn't think anything of it.
It's
just coach speak.
But
not gonna say anything
for him to just bring it up on his own, I think that is something significant. I think it's something that you kind of hold on to, put that in the back of your mind. Put it in your front pocket, not the back pocket, put it in the front pocket there. And you still want to, temper your expectations, because if you're a Tennessee fan, you got to keep that cup on. You just never know when you're going to get that swift kick in your man region. So you just got to keep it on. Keep it on.
I want
or your female region, too.
That's fair point.
Sure, it still hurts.
Those hurt, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, any type of kick anywhere should probably hurt.
Probably hurt. Yeah. I want to know what Bobby Bowden thinks after the football season. It's kind of easy to say that, I think Jeremy Pruitt is going to be really good when he's first taken over as a head coach, because he doesn't have a win-loss record. He's 0-0. Now, granted, Bobby Bowden has a little more to go off of because Jeremy Pruitt was at Florida State, and Bobby Bowden, I'm sure, knows everything that went on in terms of Jeremy Pruitt while he was at Florida State. So that does change things a little bit. But guys like Gene Chizik or even if Jordan Rogers says something good about them, or Marcus Spears, Booger McFarland, I want to know what those guys are saying about Jeremy Pruitt after the football season. Right now it's easy to say, yeah, I think Jeremy Pruitt's going to be really good at Tennessee. That's easy to say right now. I want to know what they have to say after the season, after Pruitt has already gone through 12 football games, maybe 13, 14, and how did he manage being a head coach? Because it's one thing to be a defensive coordinator and control one side of the football for 12 games. It's another when you have to control the entire football program for 12 games, and you have incidents pop up like what happened with John Kelly and Will Ignatt the week of Kentucky. And on top of dealing with that, you have to make sure the game plan is ready for Kentucky. You have to make sure the install is going well that week. You have to deal with injuries and players' girlfriends breaking up with them, and just silly stuff like that constantly. So I want to know, it's cool to hear Bobby Bowden praise Jeremy Pruitt, and it should excite you. But I want to know what Bobby Bowden says after the football season, after Jeremy Pruitt has a win-loss record.
Sure.
Totally, totally fair. I put Bobby Bowden in a different category than Marcus Spears or 100%. Greg McElroy. And I even put him in a different category as Gene Chizik, even though they're still coaches. If I'm talking about wide receivers on this show, You can try to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think most people will not question playing wide receiver at Tennessee and what that takes and what it looks like, because that's something I've done. Game recognizes game. Same way with Bobby Bowden, or any coach, when they talk about another coach, that is game recognizing game, and that carries more weight. They carry more stock than anyone else talking about Jeremy Pruitt. So I'm not going to sit here and do backflips and go, want to have a parade for Jeremy Pruitt. But I think it is very, very, very interesting that Bobby Bowden made these comments without being asked.
To me, it points of the job that Bobby Bowden thinks that Jeremy Pruitt did while he was at Florida State. So clearly, Jeremy Pruitt did enough on and off the field in Tallahassee to kind of get Bobby Bowden's stamp of approval.
Well, think about this: when Bobby Bowden was the head coach, he had a head coach in waiting in Jimbo Fisher. Mm-hmm. Jimbo Fisher was a head coach. Bobby Bowden is still around. Maybe he saw a lot of Jeremy Pruitt. He thought about Jimbo Fisher when Jimbo Fisher was a head coach, and maybe that's the case. Maybe he said, okay, well, man, Pruitt reminds me a lot of Jimbo. When Jimbo was, you know, OC for me, I see those same qualities in Pruitt. Maybe that's why he thinks that Pruitt can be the next great coach we see in college football. We only hope.
And you mentioned that if Chris Lowe had asked the question, we would feel a little bit different about the comments.
Oh, I would.
I would too, 100%. But I even think Bobby Bowden commenting on Jeremy Pruitt is different than Nick Saban or Jimbo Fisher or Mark Richt, because those guys are going to say something positive about Jeremy Pruitt in some form or fashion, yeah, because it's a political move.
Yeah, Bowden doesn't need to.
Yeah, Bobby Bowden doesn't have to unsolicited say something positive about Jeremy Pruitt.
He's 88.
Whereas Nick Saban, Mark Richt, Jimbo Fisher, they're going to say something positive just so that they don't end up like Kelvin Benjamin in the headlines.
This, if nothing else, is just encouraging, and that's good. But you just think back to the beginning of Butch Jones, where you had guys from Cincinnati not only not saying good things, but saying, have fun with that. Good luck. You know, we're kind of glad that you're taking him. And you have a legend who, like Ben is saying, doesn't have any motivations to say good things about Jeremy Pruitt. Definitely doesn't have to. And he's unsolicited giving praise to Jeremy Pruitt. Obviously, this is not going to make Pruitt win football games. But just the stark difference between those two, between the beginning of Butch Jones and the beginning of Jeremy Pruitt, is encouraging at the very least.
This is why I like old people. They don't care. Say what they want to say.
It's the best.
They feel like, hey, we ain't got much time. I ain't got much longer, so I'm going to say what I want to say. I had to bite my tongue when I was a teenager, or I had to bite my tongue in my middle age years, but I ain't bite my tongue anymore. Say something. What you going to do to me? I'm 88. I love it. I love hearing old folks talk, because they're going to tell you what they think. I love it. This is what Bobby Bowden is doing, and so I happen to be really positive about Tennessee's coach. All right, let's get to Neyland Mafia. Neyland Mafia, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What up?
It's a couple of observations. Swain, man, I want to call and kind of give you a shout out for Swain Event Plus. I don't subscribe with my hard-earned money to a lot of stuff. I just don't, because I'm kind of tight as hell with my money.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I have enjoyed investing in that more than just about anything. You're a really engaging interviewer. It's impossible not to get caught up in the conversation. And I want to give you a shout out for that.
Thank you, man.
Secondly, are there any current Tennessee players in the NFL that you think might really benefit from a trade? Specifically, I'm thinking of Josh Malone, because I'm thinking, man, A.J. Green, Josh is not going to be the guy for a while, and he is falling. And, I watch Tyler Bray, and every time he steps on the field, he's good. I mean, he is a good quarterback. And those really were the two I was thinking of, but kind of interested in your opinion on that.
That's a good question.
I honestly think Josh Malone could be a Pro Bowler. And, you know, as long as he's not the featured guy, that's probably not going to happen. So, I was interested in your opinion on that. You guys have a happy Friday, and go Vols.
Man, that is a really, really good question. Tennessee players in the NFL that could benefit from a trade. Your Steelers drafting a quarterback in the third round makes me think about Josh Dobbs having an opportunity to be, you know, second somewhere, and being Chase Daniel, who's made 30-something million dollars in his career and barely played. I think Steelers drafting Mason Rudolph hurts Dobbs a little bit there, but he had a good throw yesterday for a touchdown, and he's been there a year longer. I think about Josh Dobbs. That's the first one that comes to mind.
I think he's the one that would benefit most from a trade because the reports – I know Dobbs looked really good last night, but the reports from training camp is that he's still not to the point where the Steelers feel comfortable with him being the number two quarterback, which is why Landry Jones is still on the roster. And they're not going to get rid of Mason Rudolph because Mason Rudolph is viewed as the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger down the road. And so they're not going to give up on Mason Rudolph. And NFL teams don't carry four quarterbacks. So right now, things aren't looking great for Josh Dobbs. Not that he's necessarily performing bad. It's just not – he's just not showing that elite potential that maybe Mason Rudolph has or an understanding of the offense that Landry Jones has. So I definitely think Dobbs would benefit from a trade the most.
I think you're seeing a Vol who will benefit from a trade that's already happened, and we've already talked about it, Cordell Patterson going to the Patriots.
Did he get traded
however he got there?
As a free agent.
Yeah, free agent signing. But just switching from the Raiders to the Patriots, that right there, I believe, will be extremely beneficial.
In terms of Josh Malone, I think I actually like where Josh Malone is right now. Being opposite of A.J. Green, I think that's a beautiful spot to be in for a young receiver. And Fred Ross, what was he? He wasn't the number five pick in the draft. I think it was 8 or 9 two years ago.
Something like that.
John Ross,
sorry.
From Washington.
Yes, John Ross. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, and when he's been on the field, he hasn't been all that great. So Josh Malone right now is proven to be the best receiver in that draft class for the Bengals. I kind of like the situation that Malone's in. You have Andy Dalton, who's not great, but he's a good quarterback. You have A.J. Green, who can take pressure off of you. I kind of like the situation Josh Malone is in.
Malone plays for an organization that is loyal.
Sometimes too loyal.
Too loyal. And so that actually is maybe good for Josh Malone. Ross has not been the first-round wide receiver they thought he could be. And there were signs of injury issues when he was at Washington, and they ignored those because he ran a fast time. But he's been banged up. He's been banged up. So Malone has been in there. And I like where Malone is so far. I want to see how they handle Ross this year. I know Malone, in his rookie season, found himself inactive at times during the season, not playing. But sometimes it's a lot to go in as a rookie and learn this new culture and how to be a professional and learning a new playbook. And sometimes you're not ready. And I remember Josh Malone's freshman year. A lot of folks was questioning whether he was a five-star or not, a real legitimate five-star, because he didn't come in and light the world on fire. Well, he's having the same type of transition in the NFL. He's had a slow start. That's okay. Trying to think who else could benefit from. You know, Tyler Bray went from the Chiefs to the Bears. I think he's in a good spot. He's actually in the perfect spot right now, because he followed Kansas City's former offensive coordinator, who is now the head coach at Chicago. So he has a really good chance of making that roster and sticking there for a while. So Tyler Bray, I think, is good. Maybe Nathan Peterman, because the Bills just drafted Josh Allen, but Nathan Peterman had a pretty solid performance yesterday. Maybe Nathan Peterman.
Had a really nice throw to Kelvin Benjamin, actually, the aforementioned Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'll say this. Eric Berry could really benefit from a trade to the Titans. I think that would be great. That would be the perfect move.
For sure.
Every party wins in that case.
Yeah, and I think Alvin Kamara would be good for him if he got traded to the Steelers.
Yeah. Of course.
We don't need him to be around a bad influence.
Why? He's not going to be there much longer anyways.
Your boy, what's
the rapper? Name? I know his name. I'm just refusing to
Le'Veon
say it.
Le'Veon Bell?
The weed smoker, Le'Veon Bell, yeah. You don't need to be around Le'Veon Bell, man. It's a bad influence. He needs to just.
But Alvin's cool personality will rub off on him. Chill personality will rub off on him, and maybe he'll chill out.
If anyone changes between Le'Veon Bell and Kamara, it's going to be Bell.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because Alvin is not changing.
Kamara doesn't need to change.
Yeah, and that's what I like about him a lot is man, he is who he is, and for any NFL personnel person or scout to look at Kamara's nose ring and let that be the reason you're not going to draft that young man is just ludicrous. This is stupid. Don't make any sense at all. So you gotta judge a book by its pages instead of its cover. And look at the album, got tattoos everywhere, and you know, dreads, and you know, nose ring. He's playing football. He's not going to be a quarterback for you. You don't want your quarterback probably looking like that, but he's not your quarterback. He's a baller. He doesn't get in trouble. He's smart, energetic. He makes your locker room better. That's all that matters.
This is obviously a much larger conversation that we're not going to get into, but I've never understood why people judge others on piercings and tattoos. I'm not necessarily – I'm a chicken, so you'll never see me with a tattoo more than likely. But just because somebody has a tattoo on their body doesn't mean that they're a bad person. Or not even just a tattoo. If they're covered in tattoos, that doesn't mean they're a bad person.
If you have a teardrop tattoo.
Now that's a little bit different. Okay, I can understand judging that one.
If you have a teardrop tattoo, I need my questions to be answered.
Yes, now that I agree with.
I have questions. All right, hour three continues after this.
Hour three of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The berry punch and activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the pure recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The chocolate gladiator and the chocolate shredder with the scoop of peanut butter. Oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you will feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK.
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
Gentlemen, get back in the game. Did you know that 1 out of every 3 men over 40 may have low testosterone? Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. Do you know your numbers? Well, I know my numbers. Low T Center made it quick and easy. I walked in, I took a simple blood test, and I knew my result in about 20 minutes. Their service is even covered by most health insurance. So give them a call, 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388, or go to LowTCenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Get ready for a better school year by shopping the Back to School Sale at Better Mattress happening now. Whether you're a parent or a student, you know a good night's sleep makes a difference in your day. Whether it's the patience to sit in school traffic or the concentration you need to pass your test, a better night's sleep is super important for the whole household. Right now, choose a twin, full, or queen bundle deal, all starting at just $379. The Back to School Bundle Deal from Better Mattress is everything you need in one stop for a better night's sleep. Get a mattress, box spring, frame, sheets, and a memory foam pillow, all delivered for free, starting at just $379. You choose the size twin, full, or queen, the price stays the same. We know one size doesn't fit all. Over a dozen different mattresses qualify for this offer. Have a better school year this year. Get the Better Mattress Back to School Bundle Deal while supplies last. Tell them Seth sent you and ask to try my mattress. Don't wait. Shop now. Chat live with a representative at bedrmattress.com. Good night. Just got better.
All right, team, listen up. It's tailgating time again in Tennessee. But most importantly, team, you're going to need to refi that tailgate and the truck it's attached to. With a refinanced auto loan with Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union with their Got That promotion, they'll give you up to $500 for your debt.
Are you serious, coach?
That's right, Johnny. Alcoa 10 will pay you up to $500 for your debt. Now, let's get out there and spread the word. Say it with me. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10.
ATFCU is an equal housing lender.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jared Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jared Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jerrica Steele and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Cornbread on the text box says, Chris Dorn on SEC Network says, we're so devoid of talent at all positions that our quarterback situation doesn't matter. He can't honestly believe that. Your thoughts on our talent level? Well, our talent level is not where we want it to be. It definitely needs to improve. I don't know if I agree with Chris Dorn saying the talent is devoid at all positions.
That's just not true.
That's just not true.
To me,
that don't make any sense.
Now, I'd love to see his comment for comment, word for word, what he said.
Yeah, I did too.
In the context of it, because I'd like to think that somebody who's on the SEC network did their research, but it sounds like he did not do his research and just is assuming that because Tennessee was 4-8 last year, because Tennessee has a new coach, that they don't have any talent, and that's not the case.
They didn't go 4-8 because they don't have talent.
Correct.
Yep.
And we had a caller earlier mention about what I was talking about on the RTI Periscope that we did from Toyota Knoxville yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my main reason for optimism this season is that Tennessee actually has a coaching staff that can, one, care for the players, and two, develop the players. And in my opinion, that's the difference in allowing Florida to beat you on a Hail Mary last season, being a pass through Brandon Johnson's hands away from beating South Carolina last year, catching a Hail Mary on the 2-yard line against Kentucky last year. You win those three football games and you're what, 7-5?
Yep.
So it wasn't, like you just said, it wasn't because of lack of talent last year Tennessee went 4-8. It was because of coaching.
Yeah, it seems like there's this perception in some, definitely not everywhere, but in media that is not as well-versed, that just Tennessee is this black hole of despair, talent-wise, and it's just not the case at all. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Not championship level, but not 4-8 bad.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, if Tennessee, if the culture was normal, Tennessee ain't losing to Vanderbilt either.
No, and that's what I was going to say.
I don't know about LSU. LSU wasn't that great, but you know that was a monsoon. But that game is different too. That game is totally different.
I think with the way that LSU team was late last year, and if you had this type of coaching staff and players bought in, I think you win that football game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say that Tennessee would beat Missouri and LSU and Vanderbilt all together.
Right.
But those games were different. I mean, that was the end of the season. Butch was fired. He had an interim head coach. Man, dudes were not in the game. They were checked out. They were mentally checked out.
Was that Juwan Jennings week two?
I think that was
the, where he stormed out of the facility and all that stuff.
Where he went on Instagram.
On the video.
I don't remember exactly what week that was.
I think it was Vanderbilt.
Yeah. I do remember that it like added insult to injury. But Just those dudes were totally demoralized by that point.
That month was the worst month I've experienced as a Tennessee football fan.
It was horrid. Absolutely horrid.
And looking back on it, I don't know how I survived.
Yeah, you don't think
found your way through.
You don't think that stuff affects the team? You don't think that the guys see that stuff? They see it. They see it. It affects them. I mean, all that drama that went on, and I think that's what a lot of the talking heads are really neglecting is the culture. How toxic it was, how bad it was, and now all of a sudden Tennessee doesn't have talent? That don't make any sense. So I hope that there was a little bit of misinterpretation listening to Chris Dorn's comments. And I'm a huge Chris Dorn fan from his days at Florida. I used to love me some Chris Dorn when he played wide receiver at Florida. He was a baller. But if he said that, then I'm gonna be scratching my head there. That don't make much sense at all.
He goes from representing the white wide receiver well to disrespecting the white wide receiver.
Yeah, that don't make any sense, man. I'm sorry. Sorry, Chris. I hope that's not what
I bet if he was playing today, he would be a great New England Patriot.
Yes, no doubt. Yeah, he would be a New England Patriot, no doubt about it. Volgot 27 says a teardrop tattoo can mean different things. It can mean that you committed the worst crime ever, which is taking someone else's life, or it could be that you lost someone close to him, etc. Yes, that's why I said I have questions. If teardrop tattoo only meant that you were a killer, I don't need any questions answered. I know what I need to know. I'm going the opposite way. But because, yes, it does mean that, you know, it's to honor someone that you lost, like Tyler Smith, who has a teardrop tattoo. He lost his father while playing basketball. You know, that's different. I would ask that question. But you know, that goes back to our conversation about tattoos. And there's a quote in there from Alvin Kamara's, you know, all exclusive interview there on Bleacher Report about how he felt like that teams passed on him because he had tattoos. He had a nose ring and dreads. So,
do you buy into that comment? Do you think there's any truth to that comment?
I'm sure there is.
Yeah. I think there is. I also think Butch Jones should have to get a teardrop tattoo for murdering Tennessee's football program.
But you know what's crazy though? During that article is that, you know, Alvin got in trouble in Alabama. They caused a lot of damage to some property in Alabama, and then Tennessee paid for it?
Well, wait, what?
Yeah. So during the article, it says Alvin Kamara and some friends, they got some, you know, BB guns or pellet guns or whatever, and caused some damage to Alabama property. And, you know, of course, Alvin Kamara leaves, and the bill was $3,000. And that Tennessee paid for the bill. So Tennessee paid for some damage done to Alabama's engineering building. And why is Tennessee having to pay for that?
I can tell you why. Dave Hart.
Why? It's not like that was an agreement to get Alvin Kamara to Tennessee. Alvin Kamara came from Hutchinson.
Yeah, here's the full. It says Kamara and his teammates purchased BB guns. Fired them off randomly around campus. They shot a pizza driver at a traffic light. They also cracked a large panel of the school's engineering building. He eventually got caught, received a $3,000 bill that Kamara says Tennessee paid off when he transferred.
Why is Tennessee paying for that?
Why would Tennessee pay for
that? That's what I'm saying.
So I guess the delinquent bill just followed him through JUCO.
And maybe.
And then.
It didn't have to be paid until he got to Tennessee?
Yeah.
Why does Tennessee have to pay that bill? Why did we?
Why did Alvin not have to pay that bill?
Because it's Alvin.
But why did Alvin not have to pay it? Why does Tennessee or even Alabama have to pay it? Why does Alvin not have to pay it? If he's the one that caused the damage.
Is that even legal?
I don't know. I truly do not know.
Look, you're the one with the master's degree. Well, you're supposed to know.
Well, first of all, I'd have to know where the bill came from.
That doesn't even sound legal.
Where did the bill, like, where did that bill originate from? Is it from, like, the bursar's office at Alabama, where they said, hey, you caused damage to our school. Here's your bill for the replacement of this panel.
I mean, it would have to originate from Alabama, the university, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What else would it originate from? The state or the city?
No, I don't think so, but...
A real weak move by Tennessee, but that's
not a big fan of that.
That's Dave Hart, you know, being a Bammer.
Great. Now,
why would you give Alabama $3,000? Why don't you say no? That's not our problem. We didn't do it.
They probably paid a recruit to come and beat Tennessee with that money.
That's just stupid, man.
It's the money that they could have put towards a Dodge Charger.
Yeah, and it went to a Dodge Charger for a player who is going to come in and beat Tennessee.
My goodness. And I don't – I mean, it's out now, but I don't even know if that is, like, legal under the NCAA rules.
Well, I mean,
you paying for recruits, like, bills?
I would say if the bill originated from Alabama and Tennessee paid the bill – and Alabama 100% knows that this happened. Do you not think Alabama would go to the NCAA and be like, hey, one of our biggest rivals just, they're paid $3,000 in, you know, what might be impermissible benefits. Do you not think they would do that?
No, they don't snitch on each other like that.
That goes back to our conversation, I guess it was yesterday, maybe Wednesday, of thieves or criminals telling on criminals.
Like, is a
drug dealer going to call the police and say, hey, this man just stole my weed?
Yeah.
There's an honor among thieves. I mean, there's a code. And so if that was the case, we would have more NCAA scandals. I mean, they don't tell on each other like that. So what a weak move.
Yeah, that's weird anyway.
By Tennessee,
slice it.
Dave Hart.
Pay another dude's bill. Man, please. Alabama has enough money.
Great. Now when Butch Jones messes everything up down there, we're going to get billed for it.
And then I know one thing. Coach Fulmer ain't going to pay it. You can send that thing to collections.
Is there anybody on Tennessee's campus now? Like Jeremy Pruitt, obviously. But other than Jeremy Pruitt that has Fulmer relations?
Yes. There's a few. There's a few Alabama folks on the staff.
Well, I know, like, on the football staff, but I'm talking about, like, elsewhere in the athletic department.
Yes, yes. I'm going to go to break, okay?
Am I missing an obvious one?
I'm going to break. I'm just going to say yes, all right? Swain Event, be right back.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken. Not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza, 865-540-8300, 865-540-8300, and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
If you've ever had surgery, you may have experienced sticker shock when you received all of your bills. There's one for the surgeon, one for the facilities, one for anesthesia. The list goes on, and it can be totally overwhelming. Thankfully, Premier Surgical Associates offers a different way. Premier offers packages for laparoscopic gallbladder and select hernia procedures performed at the Premier Surgery Center on Paper Mill Drive. It's one price, one bill, and you know the total cost up front. It's exceptional care at an affordable price. Visit PremierSurgeryPackages.com right now to find out more about all of the excellent services that they offer. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Fullback number and a neck roll.
I love the neck roll. We had this discussion 2 breaks ago off air that initially you said fullback's the only one that could rock a neck roll, and then you came around to linebacker. Now that I think about it, I would be okay with anybody on defense except the cornerbacks wearing a neck roll. I think Nigel Warrior would look like a bad you-know-what with one. I think Jonathan Kongbo would look like a bad you-know-what with one. I think Shai Tuttle, the defensive lineman, I think defensive linemen, safeties, and linebackers can get away with it as well.
Nasty, man. They look nasty with a neck roll if you are a safety.
I don't think you – I think you'd look
– If I was wide receiver lining up against a safety with a neck roll –
I'd be intimidated.
I would not be.
If it's Eric Berry with a neck roll,
I would not be. You got to cover me. You have to cover me in space.
But see, that's another reason to wear it. If you're the DB, you deceive them.
No, you wouldn't.
Wide receiver is going to be, oh, this man's slaw. I'm going to blow right past him.
No, but we can't wear a neck roll, man. We can't do that. Linebackers and fullbacks, maybe defensive ends.
Combo would be pretty. I think Combo could serve.
I don't want Combo.
The neck roll well.
I need Combo to focus. He don't need any distractions.
Well, that's true. No, that's true. I just know when I used to play NCAA football.
I used to give all my defensive players one.
Yeah, because I thought it looked dope.
It made them look hard.
Always put on terrible. A good neck roll.
Soft and terrible. Fullback, linebacker. That's it for me. Speaking of defensive linemen, forgot to mention this. Brant Lawless signed with Tennessee, but didn't really come. But he signed in North Carolina, which my first thought when I saw that Brant Lawless signed with North Carolina is, hey, Brant, what size shoe you wear? Can I buy some Jordans from you? But probably going to be hard to do because everyone's going to be watching out for that now for obvious reasons, right?
Probably so.
It was a mutual decision for Tennessee and Brant Lawless at the end. Maybe not starting out. Maybe Tennessee was like, here's our chance to get out of this thing. Because Brant was having some academic issues. And that was maybe Tennessee's way to say, let's take this number and count it towards somebody else. Like a grad transfer or something like that. And that is actually a better move than taking a freshman right now. Take someone, give me Brandon Candy or Christ or Mondre London over Brant Lawless any day of the week. And that's just not a shot at him. It's just what we need right now over a freshman defensive lineman who is not a guy that's going to play day one. Okay? So it wasn't like Tennessee traded Brant Lawless for J.J. Peterson, and Peterson's not here, so it's a bad trade. It's not that at all. Academically, Brant Lawless didn't take care of his business, and it gave Tennessee an opening to not sign him. And who's surprised that he went to North Carolina? No one's surprised. I think North Carolina probably was trying to get Dan Kirkland Jr. too, because there's two former Tennessee assistants who are now on the North Carolina staff. So, Brant Lawless is a Tar Heel.
Good for him.
What size shoe does Brant Lawless wear? Is it my size? Don't matter. I'm Team Adidas anyways. I'm not wearing any Nike's Jordans.
What brand shirt is that you're wearing?
Looks like it's a Nike just right here.
Yeah, this is Nike shirt. It's Nike T-shirt. But I'm not acquiring any more Nike gear.
I mean,
I got Nike. I'm aware here on the show. But
you do the same thing we all do every morning. That was the first shirt you saw when you woke up this morning.
It wasn't the first shirt. It wasn't the first shirt.
What brand shorts are you wearing?
Well, these are Jordan.
Pretty. You're very consistent. Butch Jones would be very proud of you. You always wear a Nike shirt. You're always wearing Jordan shorts, and now you're always wearing Adidas shoes. No, you're very consistent. You're layered.
On the show,
you're diverse.
The only thing that matters is the shirt that I'm wearing.
Promoting diversity is the way I look at it.
No, the only thing that matters on here is the shirt that I'm wearing, because that's the only thing you can see. But again, I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. When I went out of the house, I went to practice yesterday and ran some errands. I did not wear any. Nike brand shirt, or shorts. I wore just regular clothes. They were not branded. And then I wore my Adidas shoes. I'm Team Adidas. Okay, I'm not acquiring any more Nike stuff. I was looking at some Jordans. The black and white 13s came out, and those are one of my top two favorite Jordan shoes ever. The 11s and the 13s. The white and black ones came out. My second favorite shoe. And I said, nope. I looked at it and said, I don't, not interested. I'm committed. I'm solid. I'm solid to Adidas.
Well, what's unfortunate for me, I've been wanting to get some Pennies. But then once Penny took over as Memphis' head coach.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Nope. Charles and Vol Nation.
They've already got some.
Yep, they got some.
And Memphis Blue.
Well, they probably got
some. They've got Memphis Blue Pennies.
Well, but I'm not – I don't care how great Penny was at Orlando, how great his shoes were. And I actually had two pair of Penny shoes growing up. I would not get them now because he's at Memphis. Some interesting stuff here regarding the Zach Smith, Urban Meyer, Courtney Smith story, Ohio State. Courtney's Zach Smith's mother, according to a report, highlighted some disparaging things about Courtney's past and why even Courtney's mother and Courtney do not talk, and it has a lot to do with allegations that Courtney made a vow to take down Zach Smith and Urban Meyer because Zach Smith had stepped out of their marriage early in the marriage, and so she had some type of vendetta. I know one thing. I'm glad Tennessee doesn't have to deal with this stuff, but only one person has receipts, and that is Britt McMurphy. So if you ain't got receipts, it don't matter.
That's exactly how I feel. I mean, he just nailed it with all of the evidence that he has. At this point, this almost feels like conjecture, like someone just trying to save face for Zach Smith. Because I look at that, and I mean, that was my first when you brought this up. I hadn't seen it. The first thing I said is, she got those receipts. She got proof. She got a recording. She got, what are we working with here? Because she has lots of motivation to want to clear Zach Smith's name. And so, I have to take it with a grain of salt, ultimately.
Yeah. All right, let's get to Daniel on the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. Daniel, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Great, Daniel. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Y'all were talking about Chris Doran's comments earlier. I don't know word for word what it was, but it was something like, I think he said, the quarterback battle at Tennessee isn't as important because we're so devoid of talent at so many other positions. I think that's what that's pretty close. I don't know if that's word for word, but that's pretty close to what it was.
Well, if that's what it was, then I still disagree, because I think the quarterback position is very, very important in any case. And especially this case, where you don't have a ton of experience, you don't have this potent offense returning like a West Virginia.
Right.
So the quarterback taking care of the football and taking with the defense, gives him, and being patient even during a quarterback battle, because sometimes you can press because you're trying to win the job or you're trying to prove that you should be the quarterback. Sometimes you can press, and a quarterback battle can be a detriment to your offense. And so I just disagree with Chris Doan. I definitely respect him because of who he was as a player and his knowledge. But I just disagree. I'm here every day.
Right.
I follow this team. And so ain't nobody on the outside
going
to make a statement like that without me have my opinion. So, and I just disagree. I disagree with him saying there's not enough talent around to win games. There may not be enough talent to beat Georgia and Alabama. But I think there's talent around to get everything else done. But it puts more pressure on you to play perfect when you don't have enough talent that you need. I mean, you got to play discipline.
Right.
You got to play, probably, some of your best football in those games. But there's talent to win games and be better than, a 5.5 win or 6-win football team.
Right. And, we got a pretty talented starting group, but I feel like the biggest issue is just depth. But, and when we get into that 5-game stretch where it's, a murderer's row, how how long is the starting talent, how long are they going to stay healthy, how long are they going to have energy, and when they have to start going out, you know, that's when I get a little nervous because I don't feel like we have the talented depth, but I feel like we have the talented starters.
Yep. I'm with you, Daniel. Thank you for the phone call. Really appreciate it. You know, you bring up some really good points there. I just disagree with Chris Dorn, though. You know, I'm sorry. I remember when Greg McElroy came in here, Butch took him to breakfast at one of the, you know, locally famous breakfast spots, and then, you know, Greg McElroy was all high on Tennessee, and you know, I know people in SEC Network, and I was talking to them one day, and they did not know that Tennessee did not do 7-on-7 during the summer.
And when they found out, their mindset changed.
And when they found out, Greg McElroy's magically, his opinion changed of what Tennessee could do. He didn't know that. Because it's something that's so normal. It's so, you know, it's so expected. And when Greg McElroy found that out, hey, man, those opinions about Tennessee kind of changed a little bit.
Speaking of national media members, I believe it was Wednesday, we were talking about how Barrett Salee is probably number one on the list.
Chris Lowe, number one.
Yeah, Barrett Salee, number two. Yeah. Barrett Salee, I think Barrett has fallen a little bit.
In a way, CeeLo is local. His job is national. He's from Knoxville. He hangs out in Knoxville. But he knows he covered Tennessee for a long, long time.
The only reason we know that is because we know him personally. That
is true.
The people who read him don't necessarily know that.
Yes,
because he works for a national media company.
Yes, he's professional to the point where if you didn't know it, you wouldn't know that he's correct, a quote unquote Tennessee guy.
Yes, but Barrett has likely fallen down our board, which is even more reason we need to get a board and rank our favorite media members.
What do you say?
On his CBS Sports little headquarters thing, he gave an early prediction for the Tennessee-West Virginia game and said that Tennessee does not stand a chance with Will Grier at quarterback and that Tennessee's defense will be very volatile and the second string is a huge drop-off.
I mean, the reasons why he said Tennessee will get beat, I can't disagree. I don't think – I think it's going to be a game. I think Tennessee will have a chance to win. I'm watching them dudes practice. Now, I haven't watched West Virginia practice, but I'm watching our guys practice, and I'm sorry, I don't see a Big 12 team outside of Oklahoma just beating down Tennessee. I just don't see that. I don't see it.
I'm trying to be positive about the game. It's just I just kind of see their recipes for winning are Tennessee's deficiencies in terms of they're really going to attack Tennessee's corners, and it looks like Tennessee is going to be relying on two true freshmen and a JUCO guy that has never played at this level. And then you do have Schamberger and Baylen Buchanan, but even guys like that, like they haven't really spent a whole lot of time as the main guys. You do have your safeties, trio of safeties, and TK and Nigel and Micah that I'm confident in. And if you can get some pressure on the quarterback, that helps the secondary out a lot. But I do agree with Barrett in the sense of after those guys, it does fall off quite a bit.
Yeah, that means, you know, what does that mean the first game of the season? Somebody getting hurt? A bunch of people getting hurt? We got a bunch of people getting tired? I mean, what is the second string guys, you know, have to do a lot with the first game. Maybe you're talking about when it comes to dime and nickel, and you got to throw in those extra corners and things like that. We don't know if it's just, you know, Alante is just ultra, ultra talented, like a Cam Sutton is why he's in there playing along with, you know, Thompson there. We don't know. It's been a week. It hasn't even been a week of fall camp. And so we don't know what West Virginia is going to do. And how they're going to come out and play. But I'm telling you, I just don't see how Tennessee, after going 4-8 last year, the culture being that bad, and watching these dudes work like I did yesterday and watching these guys coach, that they're going to allow West Virginia just to beat them down. I don't see it.
No, I mean, I don't think.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I don't think Tennessee's going to get beat down, but I also don't think I'm crazy for making my assumptions based off of what West Virginia's offense was able to do with Will Grier, a healthy Will Grier last year, and based off the fact that Tennessee is a 4-8 football team.
Was.
Was. Well, I mean, technically, they're still a 4-8 football team until they kick off the football season.
There was. This is the 2018 football team. 2018 football team. 2017 football team was 4-8.
That's fair. I get it. Tomato, tomato. I don't think I'm crazy for it. Like I said, I'm trying to find positivity. And my hope is that Shot Tuttle and those guys can get pressure on the quarterback. And West Virginia does have a new running back in place in Kennedy McCoy. They lose an 1,000-yard rusher. So my hope is that Tennessee can turn West Virginia into being one-dimensional. And then on the flip side of that, Jarrett Guarantano or Keller Chris can come out and just, quite frankly, shove it down their throats.
Hey, you got to run the football at West Virginia. And if you can't sit back there all day and just throw the ball 50 times. You got, this is, at the end of the day, it's still an SEC front. You are a Big 12 passive football, a passive offense. That, yeah, you're you can strike and you can score points, but what happens when you have those finesse teams when they get punched in the mouth? Sometimes they overcome and sometimes they curl up and they blink. And so Tracy Rock and Chris Rump, the way these coaching these boys up who are already talented, I'm not sitting here saying that Tennessee is going to win today, but I am saying that a lot of folks just write Tennessee off in this game, and I wouldn't do that. I've been in this situation as a player at fall camp where you just came off a humiliating season and you have a great test to start the next season, and you want to prove a lot of folks wrong. A lot of motivation. I saw, Darrell Taylor's comments. They asked him, a little bit about kind of silencing the critics or answering the critics, and he's like, "Hey, we just gonna let our play do the talking." And so,
what would your quick answer be to my question that your football team that bounced back was more talented than this football team?
Our football team was more talented. Yeah, no doubt. We had 7 guys drafted, but Cal was also more talented too than West Virginia. That ain't even close. I mean, that Cal team had about 10 to 15 NFL players, probably even more than that, Pro Bowlers. And so I think it's hard to compare, especially with 10 seconds left during the show. Maybe that's something we can maybe talk about Monday.
You can talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll talk about Monday. I'll talk about it on Monday. On a podcast or something like that, but it won't be on live radio. Have a great weekend. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burris, and Jason Swain. The lunch special Daddy and Barbecue is the bacon-wrapped shrimp that goes on from now till the end of Sunday. So take advantage. Swain Event. Peace and love. We're out.